Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Ask the Expert North Texas here on News Radio 1080 KRLD. I'm David Rankin.
And I'm Kristen Diaz. So the 4th of July holiday can be specifically challenging for some of our neighbors who suffer from PTSD, specifically the veteran population. And, you know, for our vets, we want to make sure that we are respectful of the things that they might have gone through and be good neighbors and help them out in any way that we can. Today on Ask the Expert, we have Dr. Lakita Carter joining us. She is a licensed psychologist. Can you talk about the correlation between veterans with PTSD and increased triggers when it comes to celebrating with fireworks?
Yeah. So for veterans with PTSD, there are a host of concerns that we have around holidays like the 4th of July, including Veterans Day, but 4th of July, Memorial Day are all really concerning holidays for them, in part because of the firework triggers. Right. So there are fireworks are explosive and they are loud. And those sounds and sights can actually trigger PTSD symptoms related to war zones. And so sometimes the sights and the sounds of war are mimicked in the sights and the sounds of celebrating the 4th of July. And we know it's just fireworks, but the nervous system, the body itself, doesn't say, oh, that's just a firework. Your mind goes right back to your war zone and you are now in self-preservation mode. So that's one of the ways that the 4th of July can really impact veterans with PTSD.
I know a lot of soldiers, sailors, Marines, Air Force veterans may not want to talk about such things. How do you give them the dignity of doing this and let understand what it is they're going through?
So part of it, I think, is making sure that you set up situations where they don't even have to make a decision or they don't have to talk about it. So, for example, another trigger or activator for a veteran with PTSD is large crowds and chaos. Again, taking them all the way back to the space where they were fighting for our country. So those large gatherings and the noise, all of the sights and sounds around them can be very overstimulating, and that can create some social anxiety and some hypervigilance. So one of the ways that we help them is to simply avoid those situations, but not avoid them in the sense that we don't allow them access. Avoid them in the sense that we can plan your every 4th of July does not have to be a huge barbecue, right? Some 4th of Julys, you can have an intimate gathering at your house with, you know, two other couples and you can play games, right? Or you can watch a movie, right? So things like that where there are options for veterans so that they don't have to go somewhere and be triggered but think, well, this is the only option I have. This is all that we do on the 4th of July is go to large gatherings and there's people everywhere and sounds everywhere, music. All of those kinds of things can be very overstimulating.
For family members or friends of veterans, how do they approach this conversation? And also, how do they educate maybe the children that might be around them as well of being able to recognize that this is something that people have to live with every single day?
So I think one of the ways is to check in and just start the conversation, right? Because sometimes when people are survivors of some sort of trauma, they don't want to have to keep advocating for themselves. So start the conversation by saying, hey, I just want to check in and I don't want to assume. 4th of July can be tough for many veterans. Is that the case for you? Do you want to hang out and talk about it on July 3rd before the 4th? Is there an activity that you would like to do that might be just less stimulating for you, like maybe mini golf, something that is quieter, right? So I think checking in is really important. I also think if you're in a neighborhood space where you know there's a veteran or more than one veteran, I think it's really important that you alert neighbors, right? That you advocate for the veterans. So saying like, hey, just remember, we have veterans that live in our neighborhoods. So if you could warn us, let us know when you're planning to do fireworks so that maybe they can decide not to be home, right? Just being more sensitive to their specific needs. And when it comes to children, I always like to give children an analogy that they can understand. So do you know how you don't really like it when the neighbor's dog runs up to you because it just makes you feel really scared? That's how some people feel when they hear fireworks. And just like we take care of you when you feel really scared, we have to take care of other people when they feel really scared. It just looks different because that's a big person and you're a small person.
For veterans themselves, what kind of coping mechanisms typically will they do?
Yeah, a lot of it is avoidance. And I think avoidance sometimes can be unhealthy, but I think in these situations, avoidance is very healthy. So if you know that there are spaces and places that are that do fireworks, particularly throughout as the night goes on, like, you know, we're talking once we get to 11 and 12 o'clock at night, that can also have a major impact on a veteran's sleep. And again, that takes them back to a war zone where they're not quite sleeping in, they're not getting the same quality of sleep because they are in a space where at any point they could be attacked, right? So the body isn't at full rest. And when fireworks go off at 12 o'clock at night, the same exists. So I think for veterans, if they feel comfortable, they can share with people like, hey, this is what I really need, their families and their family and friends. This is what I need to make this day not be a trigger. Because, and then if it's helpful for some veterans who have done a lot of maybe therapy work around their trauma, even sharing, I've done a lot of therapy work to not have these triggers. But what I do know is that when I get triggered from fireworks, it can set me off. It can be set me back like 2 weeks. I can have anxiety symptoms for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month. And I'm really trying to avoid that. So could you let me know when you're doing fireworks? Because I'm going to plan to be at dinner at that time, right? Or I'm going to ask that my family, you know, that we do something where I'm not exposed to that. Or we're going to go out of town this weekend. Nothing to do with you. It's just that I just want to make sure that I can stay on my healthy track.
What should family members look for as far as symptoms if someone's going through actual physical issues or psychological issues?
Yeah, great question. So they should look for physical signs in the body of anxiety, a shaking foot, a tapping foot. Sometimes people even develop a nervous tic. So they'll constantly be moving a part of their body. Maybe it's blinking. Maybe it's clearing their throat, or there's a part of their shoulder is twitching. Should also look for distress in the face, right? Like that, you know, you're at a cookout. So most people don't look distressed when they're at a cookout. So distress in the face. Also, if they're not really tracking conversations, right? Like they're in the conversation, they're standing there, but they're kind of off in space, or they're not participating in the conversation. And then when someone tries to pull them in, they're like, oh yeah, what were you talking about? That could be a sign that they're dissociated. They've gone to another place where that's unsafe, and they're trying and they can't get themselves back. So those are a few signs, but definitely there are visual signs that you can see that really mimic anxiety. So lots of sometimes heart palpitations, also shortness of breath. Sometimes people will say like, I just can't catch a good breath. And that's a sign that their trauma symptoms happening.
Dr. Carter, anything else you want our listeners to know?
I think it's just really important that we share space and that we take care of each other, because the world, it can be full of triggers for people with PTSD. And so you want to try to make the space that they live in as safe as possible.
That is Dr. Lakita Carter right here on KRLD. Thank you so much for the time.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.